Hallelujah. God, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Did you know that our God, that your God is everything that you need? Did you know that there's not a circumstance or a situation that is too big for your God? Amen. There isn't a situation on your job. There isn't a situation in your health that God even gets nervous about, because He is God and He's the only God. Amen. He is God all by Himself. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory be to God. If I could get a little bit more monitor up here on the platform. If our ushers could come at this time, we're going to worship the Lord with our giving this morning. If you're like me and you're holding on to all of your cash just in case, you've already stopped by the ATM, you've got your $20 in your wallet for gas, you can go to the church app or the website and you can give there. We have a lot of folks that give there. I appreciate this church's faithful giving. Also, next Sunday, we're going to be taking up our Sheaves for Christ offering. And so we're going to be taking that up this next Sunday, be praying about that. And we'll be showing a promotional video and letting everybody know what all's going on with that, with our Sheaves for Christ giving. But I'm excited about everybody that's here this morning. Amen. Y'all aren't that excited, huh? Amen, 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 amen. This morning I'd like to read from Romans, the 10th chapter and the 12th verse. They knew that I was going to be talking about God and Jesus today. I mean, that's pretty much a given, right? But they had no idea what I was going to be covering. Usually, sometimes my wife will ask me on Sundays, what are you feeling this Sunday? But this Sunday, she didn't even ask. They'd already had it planned and things worked out. And I'm going to talk for just a little while. We're going to be out of here before noon today in Jesus' name. Y'all believe that? Yeah. Amen, amen. Romans, the 10th chapter and the 12th verse. It says, for there is... Let's start with John, the 4th chapter and the 23rd verse. God laid this scripture on my heart as we were worshiping. John, the 4th chapter and the 24th verse, and then we're going to go to Romans. It says, but the hour cometh and is now that the true worshipers shall arise. That the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. Everybody say, God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Do you know why it's so important that we know truth? Because we cannot truly worship God in all of His fullness unless we know who He really is. If I just know of certain aspects of Him, I can't truly worship Him for who He is. I can't worship Him because of who you are. If I only know of certain little portions of who He is, then I can't fully worship Him in all of His greatness. I can't fully worship Him for all that He's worthy for. And so He says that you've got to worship Him in spirit and in truth. You see, the little lady that He's talking to here is a woman by the well, the Samaritan woman who'd been married multiple times. She's hiding away from everybody else. She's embarrassed. The man that she lives with isn't her husband. But she was hungry for God. And Jesus said, I must need go through Samaria. And so He's standing there talking to this little lady, and this little lady begins to talk to Him about the Messiah. The Messiah was they believed that God was coming back to save them. They believed that the Messiah, they believed in the Messiah, they believed in Jesus. They just never accepted Jesus. It didn't happen the way that they thought it was going to happen. And so she's standing there talking to him about the Messiah, and Jesus begins to talk to her about true worship. He begins to talk to her about worshiping in spirit and in truth. And the woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Jesus said, this person that you're looking at right now, I'm that God manifested in the flesh that you've been looking for. Jesus said, I am that one right here, right now in your presence. Romans, the 10th chapter and the 12th verse, it says, for there is no difference between the Jew or Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that calleth upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the Lord, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now we like that. All I have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. And I just have to believe. I just have to call upon the name of the Lord. Well, let's keep reading. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. He says, so you can hear it, but it's not just about calling and it's not just about hearing. It's about obeying the gospel. That's why it's important to know who he is, because if you know who he is, it makes it easier to obey the gospel. If you know who he is and how awesome and how great and how wonderful and how powerful he is, there is something about it. Amen? For it says, for Elijah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I can't just have faith to believe and believe that in any old way that I want. It has to come by the word of God. If your faith has not come by the word of God, if what you believe has not come by the word of God, if what we think it takes to be saved does not come by the word of God, then we are in trouble. Amen. I'm waiting on the Messiah, she said, and he said, I'm sitting right here in front of you. I am he. Who are you? My name is Jesus. My name is Jesus. My name is Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now that your spirit would move and flow in this place. Lord, that you would speak to us today. God, that you would anoint my lips of clay. Lord, that you would strengthen me. Oh God, that your will and your way would be done. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. This morning I'm going to teach for a little while. I might get excited here in a minute or whatnot, but I want to talk for just a little bit. We've got to understand that as we read the Bible as it's translated into English, that we look and we see the word Lord and God all throughout the Bible. And we read it in English, and to us it says Lord and it says God. But when you look at it in the Hebrew, each time that word says Lord and God, it can mean all kinds of different things. Because in the Hebrew, it's translated differently. It's translated with different names. And we're going to go into some of those names as we move along today. But we've got to understand that the reason that the names in the Bible are important is because names were important to God and in the Bible. Today, we can name our kids whatever we want to name them. I've got a son named Jackson. He's got an X in the middle of it. And 10 years ago, people would have laughed and shook their head and wondered what kind of name that is. But now we have a kid named Jackson. I have a son named Jace. And Jace is just a short way of saying Jason. And it's not even a real name. But we've got a kid named Jace. I've got a kid named Gentry, and Gentry spelt with a G, but we threw a J on the front of it. And so none of our kids' names are just real names. They're all a derivative of something else. It's something taken away from something else. But in the Word of God, names meant something special. When God gave somebody a name, God would literally change people's names in the Bible. You can look throughout the Bible and find people's names, and they were exactly what their name said that they were. You look at Abraham. Abraham's name was High Father. But when God got done with Abraham, his name was the Father of Many Nations. Jacob's name was Deceiver. Everybody knew that Jacob was a deceiver. You didn't leave your wallet around Jacob. But when God got done with Jacob, his name was He Who Prevails with God. He changed his name to Israel. Simon's name was Reed. It was something that was weak. It was something that you find in the side of a pond that blew one way to the other. But when Jesus got done with Simon, he said, "Your name shall be Peter, and upon this rock I shall build my church." We've got to understand that names meant something to God, that God would take somebody where they were and they would change it into something different. He would take where they were and say, "This is what the world says that you are, but this is what I see. The world says that you have no children, but I say that you're the father of many nations. The world says that you're weak, but I say that you're a rock upon which I can build a church." Amen. That's why it's important to understand what names mean in the Bible, that very few names in the Bible just go by without any real meaning. If we ask people in this place today to raise their hand and to tell us what their name meant, there would be people all over the building. "Well, it means this. It means that. My parents told me that it meant this. The baby app that I downloaded tells me that my name means such and such." And we have an idea of what each of our names mean. I worked with a lady, and I'm not going to tell you her name, and because you'll go look it up. You might have somebody named that, and it might be somebody's real name in here, but it meant dark one or witch, and it fit her name pretty good, and so we've got to understand that the things in the Bible, the names meant something. You look throughout the Bible, and the various names that God uses were important. We're going to read a couple of scriptures that discuss the importance of honoring God's name, of understanding God's name, and understanding the importance of knowing who God is. We'll start with Exodus 20 and 7. It says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." We're talking about the third the third one in the list of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. He demands that God's name is to be taken seriously, that it's not just a byword. It's not something that we add something on to the end of it. It's not something that we use as a curse word. If you use his name as a byword or a curse word, there is something wrong inside of you. We've got to understand that his name has to be reverenced. His name has to be holy. His name has to be something important to us. What this name also meant is not just being a byword or using his name in vain, but it being misused, it being used out of context, it being used in a way that was not important, being used in a way such as we pray, "God, if you'll fix this, I'll change." And all you're doing is saying, "God, I'm just throwing vanity up into the air, because if you'll fix this, I'm still going to be who I'm going to be." be. And so the Bible says, do not take my name in vain. If you're going to use it right. If you're going to use it, be serious about it. If you're going to use it, hold on to what is right and purposeful about it. Deuteronomy 28 and 58 says, if thou shalt not observe to do all the words of the law. He's talking about the Bible. He's talking about the Word of God. If you do not do all the words of God, if you do not follow after the Bible, the law that are written in this book, then he says that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name. He's saying if you fear God, if you respect God, then you will do the things that are in the Bible. But if you do not respect God, if you do not have the fear of the Lord upon you, then there's something else that's going on. This glorious name of the Lord our God. It's equally important to obey the Word of God as it is to revere His name. It's equally important to revere the name of God as it is to obey the Word of God. It's something that we've got to protect. It's something that we've got to understand that it is important in our lives. It's Psalms 44 and 20 says, if we had forgotten the name of our God, it says, or spread out our hands to a foreign God, would not God discover this? For He knows the secrets of our heart. If we had forgotten the name of our God. Here, see, you've got to understand that the only way that we can turn our back on God is if we have forgotten who He really is. If His importance in our life is not that great, then it's easy for us to say, I really don't need you in my life. If He doesn't rank number one in our lives, it's easy for us to forget and say, I'll find something else to worship in my life. I'll find something else that I want to get a hold of. We read in Jeremiah that it says in 23 and 26, how long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies, who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people to forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. He said that if you forget my name, if you forget who I am, if you forget what I am, then it's easy for you to turn and to forget why you are here and what you are here for. That if you turn away from Him, that you'll find other gods in your life. And we've got to remember the name of God. We see where he talks about all of the things that will happen negatively if we forget the name of God. But here in Psalms 91 and 14, it says, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. What? Because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Who is he going to do that for? He's going to do that for somebody that is holding on to his name. That's holding on to his name. There is something important about the name. There is something that God has deep down inside that says, you can't go without my name. You can't do anything else without my name. You've got to hold on to the name. A long list of promises. We read as we go through every time it says Lord or God in the Bible that it literally can mean different things throughout the Bible. It's interesting if you just go home and get out your get your Bible app and begin to look through and click on each place that each name can mean something different. We find that in the beginning, when we talk about God, it's just El. It's just God. It's just a holy being. It's just something up there. But as we go throughout the Bible, as in the Old Testament, it's like every name that is added, it is a different aspect of who God is. It is a different side of who he is and what he does that is revealed to the children of Israel. We see Abraham. We see Adam's relationship with God. It was different than Noah's relationship with God. But Abraham's relationship with God was different than Noah's relationship with God. And Moses' relationship with God was completely different than Abraham's relationship with God. And as they grew, as they grew in their relationship with God, as God began to reveal himself in different aspects of himself, he gave them different names, which in English is still translated Lord or God. But we find in Genesis 17 and 1, and Abraham was 99 years old, and the Lord, which is El, appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, I am God Almighty. That word is El Shaddai, God Almighty. He said, I'm going to reveal something to you that you have not seen yet, Abraham. I want you to know that not only am I God, but I am God Almighty in your life, and there is nothing that I cannot do. We see him in Genesis 14 and 18. It's the Most High God. In Genesis 16 and 13, the God who sees. In Genesis 17 and 1, the God Almighty. In Genesis 21 and 33, it is the everlasting God. It's something that he begins to reveal himself, that I can do this. We find him as Adonai, which means the great ruler or the master. We find him as Jehovah or Yahweh when we get to Exodus, as he says, that I am your Jehovah, I am your Yahweh, I am your Savior. We look throughout there as we see, as he begins to reveal himself unto Moses as Yahweh. Here, this is interesting. In Exodus 6 and 3, it says, I have appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob as God Almighty, but my name, the Lord, that word right there, Lord, translated in the Hebrew is Yahweh. I did not make myself known unto them. He said, I'm revealing myself as Yahweh unto you, but I did not reveal myself as Yahweh unto them. But you read in Genesis 22 and 14, and Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said, this day in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. So Abraham knew the name of Jehovah Jireh, but he did not know Jehovah Jireh. See, you can understand, you can know aspects and you can know names of God, but that does not mean that you know him. You can say that he's a healer, but you might not know him as a healer. You might not believe that he's a healer. You can say that he's a deliverer, but he might not be a deliverer to you. It might just be something you say, but it's not something that you know or you believe. We've got to understand that when I say my God is a healer, I've got to believe that my God is a healer. When I say my God is a deliverer, I've got to believe that my God is a deliverer. When he speaks to Moses, he says, I am that I am. Grammatically correct, literally Yahweh means he is. So when he talks about himself, he doesn't say I is, he says I am. And so Moses said, who do I tell them that you are? And he says, you just tell them I am that I am. Tell them he is. Whatever you need, he is. Whatever's going on in your world, he is. Whatever you need fixed, he is. Whatever's happening in your life, he is. What do I tell them? Just tell them that I'm capable. Tell them that whatever aspect they need me in, I am that I am. The Jews were careful. They got to a place that they took the third commandment so literal that they were afraid to even say the name Yahweh. In fact, when they would come to a place that Yahweh was mentioned in the Word of God, they would change it to Adonai. They were so afraid that they would take his name in vain that when the scribes begin to transcribe some of the things throughout the Bible, they begin, instead of writing Yahweh, they were so afraid they might even misspell it or make it look wrong. They would spell it with YHWH. And everyone knew that that meant Yahweh. But they wouldn't even say Yahweh. They would still say Adonai because they were so worried about offending. They were so worried about taking his name in vain. So they weren't even going to use the name. They weren't even going to say the name. They were just going to put it on the back burner, and they were going to talk about the way that God used to be. See, you've got to understand, you can't ever be afraid of what God wants to do new in your life. You've got to be hungry. God, I want more of you. I want to find Jehovah Jireh. I want to find Jehovah Nissi. I want to find Yahweh in my life. We find him as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will see and provide. We find him as Jehovah Rapha in Exodus 15 and 26, the Lord that heals. We find him as Jehovah Nissi in Exodus 17 and 15, the Lord is our banner. What does that mean? When they would go into battle, they would carry a banner showing who they were under and what kingdom was supporting them. He is our banner. When the enemy comes against me like the flood, I've got a banner that says I'm a part of a kingdom that is not of this world. I'm a part of a kingdom that is bigger than the situation that I'm in. Jehovah Kadesh, the Lord that sanctifies. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. The Lord, the Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my shepherd. The Jehovah Kishkenu, the Lord our righteousness. We can go on and on and on. Jehovah Shammah, he says that it is the Lord is present. Name after name as God reveals himself through the Old Testament, through Judges, 1 Samuel, Psalms, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. He reveals aspects of himself that I am present with you. I will fight for you. I will heal you. I will be your shepherd. I will be your maker. I will walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death. I will be that God for you. But even the Israelites understood that these were not the name of God. Because even when you find Samson's father, he asked, Lord, what is your name? And he tells him it's a secret. We read that the prophet Agur in Proverbs 30 and 4, and he, the only place that he's mentioned in the entire Bible, is in Proverbs 30 and 4, says this: who hath ascended upon the heaven nor descended, who hath gathered the winds in his fist, who hath bound the waters in as a garment, who hath established all the ends of the earth. What is his name? And what is his son's name? This is in Proverbs. He's prophesying. If thou canst tell, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Even the prophet said, I don't truly know his name. I know aspects of who he is. I know aspects of what he's done. I know aspects of what he has revealed in times past. In Zechariah 13 and 6, and he says, and one shall say unto him, that what are these wounds in thine hands? He's prophesying about God having wounds in his hands. Zechariah 14 and 9, and the Lord shall be the king over all the earth. And in that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. Zacharias even said, I don't know what it's going to be yet, but there is one thing I do know. He's going to have a name that he's going to reveal unto us, and it's going to be one name. It's not going to be a bunch of names. It's not going to be a bunch of titles. It's going to be one name. We find in the New Testament, we've talked about in the past few weeks, Isaiah 9 and 6, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Who's going to be born? This child's going to be born. Who's he going to be? He's going to be a mighty God. He's going to be the everlasting Father. Where do we find the word Father used all the time? He's going to be that also. Here, I know it's going to be tough for you to wrap your mind around Israel, but not only is he going to be God, he's going to be manifest in the flesh. Not only is he going to be mighty God, he's going to be born into a mother's womb. Not only is he going to be the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace, but he's also going to manifest himself in the flesh and walk upon this earth. See, we've got to understand that every word that is mentioned there says that his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. That's not a name. That's a title. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. These are just titles. These are not the name. But we read in Matthew 1 and 21, when God begins to speak to Joseph. Joseph is done. He's out. He's finished. He doesn't want any more. He's found out that his soon-to-be wife is pregnant and it's not his child. And he's ready to do something else. And in Matthew 1 and 20, we find as God speaks to him, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee Mary to thy wife. For that which is conceived inside of her is of the Holy Ghost. Now that's a one God scripture right there too, because it's not conceived of the Father, it's conceived of the Holy Ghost. Why can the Holy Ghost be the Father if it's not the Father? Because the Holy Ghost and the Father are one. And so what has been conceived by the Holy Ghost and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He said, this is the name that I want given to this child. You call his name Jesus. And then he goes on and says, I want to give you a little insight that you don't quite understand just yet. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. What he said, Joseph, guess what? This is what they were talking about in the book of Isaiah, and I want you to name him Jesus. I want you to name him Jesus. Why? Because this is what Isaiah 9 and 6 was talking about. We've got to understand that the name Jesus literally means Jehovah has become our salvation. We've got to understand that when the Almighty, awesome God said, I'm not just going to give you pieces of me anymore, but I'm going to reveal myself unto you. I'm going to robe myself in flesh. I'm going to come down upon this world, and I am going to give my life as a sacrifice that you may live. And so Matthew 1 and 25 says, and he says, and he knew her not till she brought forth a firstborn son. And he, who is he? Joseph. Why? Because God spoke to him and said, this is what I want you to call me. His name is Jesus. We've got to understand that the apostolic church of the New Testament was built upon the name. Nowadays, you find people receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost everywhere. You can turn on TBN and see people speaking in tongues on TBN. It's not something that is that people don't even get worried about hardly anymore. It's happening everywhere. Denominations from all over the United States are having to change their stance on the Holy Ghost because overseas, they can't stop it. People are showing up hungry for God, and they're just teaching them about God, and they're being filled filled full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and there's nothing they can do about it. They can't stop it. They can't reteach it. They haven't been redoctrinated. And all of a sudden, they're coming, and something is happening, and they're having to step back and say, we don't know what to do. And so it's not the Holy Ghost that people are afraid of anymore. It's Matthew 10 and 22. It says that you will be hated. Why? By all for my name's sake. See, the Holy Ghost is not a big deal anymore because everybody's receiving the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying it's not a big deal. It's part of God's salvation plan. It's a big deal. I'm talking about in the world. Do you want to know what the next great revelation is going to be that's going to bring churches together? There are going to be churches that don't believe the same stuff all of a sudden stand up and link arms. Why? Because the next great revelation that's going to sweep this world is the one God revelation. It's the next thing that's going to sweep. Holy Ghost isn't it anymore because everybody's receiving the Holy Ghost now. But when everybody all of a sudden eyes begin to open and they begin to understand that the same God that created me died for me and that the same God that created me was willing to go to a cross for me and his name is Jesus. It's Acts 4 and 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of good deed done to an impotent man, he was crippled, to an impotent man, by that, he says, by that means he is made whole. He says that what we have done is good to an impotent man, a cripple that was made whole. He said, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of your builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And what is that name? That name is Jesus. Matthew 28 and 18, and Jesus came and said unto them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name, not in the titles, not in a title of something else, but in the name, not in multiple names, but in one name. And we've already talked about it several weeks ago. You can't find a place in the Bible that they baptized other than baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ. And he tells them to baptize in the name of the Father, which is Jesus, and the Son, which is Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, which is the name of Jesus, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Colossians 3 and 17. And whatsoever you do, wherever in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Philippians 2 and 9, it says, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So if every knee is going to bow in heaven, does that mean that God is going to bow to Jesus? God doesn't bow to anybody. So what does that mean? There's only one throne in heaven. They're not playing musical chairs with it. There's only one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is but one Lord. There's only one God, and his name is Jesus. He said, I've given you aspects of who I am, but now I'm going to reveal to you my name. I've showed you bits and pieces of who I am throughout the Bible. I've allowed you to see the Jehovah Nissi and the Jehovah Kishnanu, but now I'm going to show you my name. To Paul and Silas, He was a chain breaker to Peter. He was a savior to Lazarus. He was a life giver to Mary Magdalene. He was a deliverer to blind Bartimaeus. He was a healer. And it was all done because of Jesus. We've got to understand that whatever need you have, that whatever situation that's going on in your life, when you understand that I call upon the name of Jesus and I believe in the only God and in the name of Jesus, there is something powerful about when you can worship in spirit and in truth. I've told this story before. It might have been on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, and I'm done. There was one night I was at Saturday night prayer meeting, and we were praying, and I heard a little lady in the back going into deep travail. And I recognized the voice, but I didn't understand. It was Ceci. I didn't fully understand. Well, I had to go back and look for myself. So I got up, you know, and I had to do praying, and I walked to the back, and I had to go take a look, and because something wasn't right. This was different than anything I'd ever heard before coming out of Ceci. And Ceci was back there travailing, weeping and crying and going to deep places in God. I was like, wow, that's new. I've never seen that happen before. That's a new development. And so a few days later, we were taking all of the kids to kids camp. And she was one of the dorm moms, and she was riding in the van. And I brought it up to her. I said, Ceci, what's going on? Something happened. There's something going on here. And she said, Brother Pugh, you don't understand. She said, up until last week, I always believed that there was a lot more gods than one. She said, but when I came to the revelation that the same God that created me died for me, she said, I love him more than I've ever loved him. I want to know him more than I've ever known him. I want to be closer to him than I've ever been. There was something inside that she came to the realization that, wait a minute, hold on one second. She said, it's changed my life. It's changed everything about me because I want to know him like I've never known him. And when I know him, I can worship him. And when I know him, no matter what the weather says, I can trust him. No matter what the doctor says, I can trust him. Brother Chain preached so good today about the anchor. When I know who he is, it doesn't matter which way the wind blows, I've got an anchor. Why did we read so many scriptures about holding on to the name, about not forgetting his name? Why? Because there's something important about knowing the name. There's something important about understanding the name. There's something important about having the name in your life, because no which way the wind blows, there's an anchor that says, I am Jesus, and I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. I will be the anchor for your soul. What was it? Hebrews 1, 18. Immutable promises. 2, Hebrews 6. Immutable, unchangeable promises. 2 of them, he said. He said, not only am I going to make this promise because I cannot lie, but I'm going to make an oath to you. See, you've got to understand in the Bible that an oath could not be broken unless something died. That's one of the reasons God had to manifest himself in the flesh and come down upon this earth. Because in order for the oath, the testament, the covenant that he made with Abraham to be broken, one of the two parties had to die for a covenant to end. One of the two peoples had to end for the covenant to end. You can go through all throughout the Bible, covenants that could not be broken. David was king, and he was in a famine, and he couldn't figure out why. And God said, because there was a covenant that was made with people back when Joshua entered into the land. And even though they swindled and tricked Joshua, Joshua made a covenant to be at peace with them. And Saul broke that covenant. Until you fix that covenant, you're going to be in a famine, because there was a covenant. covenant that was made. In order for the old covenant to end and the new covenant to begin, there had to be a death of the testator. The scripture said the one that wrote the testament. So either all of Israel had to be wiped out, or God said, I'll end this covenant myself. I'm going to robe myself in flesh. I'm going to come down and die, because the spirit does not have flesh. I'm going to offer myself as a sacrificial lamb, and I'm going to create a new covenant with all of mankind, not just with one person, not with just one family, but with every person that sits in this room today. God said, my name is Jesus, and I've got a covenant with you that is now until the end of time. I'm making a covenant with you that I will love you when you're unlovable. I'll be faithful to you when everybody else says that we should walk away from you. But God says, you don't understand. I made a covenant with you 2,000 years ago when I climbed on that cross and I died and I shed my blood for you, that I'll be there for you and I'll hold on for you. When I get to heaven, there's going to be a God that sits on the throne, and he's going to be able to show me hands. Thomas, do you believe? No, I don't believe. God said, let me show you my hands, Thomas. Jesus said, take a look here. Look what I did. My Lord and my God. Lord Jesus, I thank you for revealing aspects of yourself. But I want to thank you, God, for revealing your name to us. Where your name is, there is power. Where your name is, there's no cancer that is above that name. There's no broken marriage that is above that name. There's no lost child that is above that name. There's no disease that can destroy a body that is above that name. With that name, every knee shall bow. Every cancer, every disease, every spirit, it's in the name of Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus. As we all stand this morning, Lord God, I pray right now that your spirit would move and flow in this place. Lord, that you would speak to us today, oh God, that your will and your way would be done, that your Holy Ghost would move and flow. There are people in this room that you struggle in your relationship with God because you don't fully understand who he is. And that little woman standing there by the well with all of her problems and all of her mistakes, there was a hunger inside of her to know him. There was a hunger inside of this woman with a life that was messed up that longed to see Jesus, because Jesus stopped everything and said, I must need go through Samaria. And as he sat there with that little lady that was hungry to know him, he revealed himself to her. God, I want to be hungry for you today, God. God, I want to know you today, Jesus. God, I want to worship you in spirit and in truth. God, I don't want to be satisfied, oh God, with just kind of knowing you. God, I want to know you. God, I've found myself drifting away from you, oh God. I've found myself looking at Baal and other gods, oh Lord. Something else that is out there that is not real. Why? Because somehow, some way, I begin to forget how awesome and wonderful you really are. God, if I begin to drift, help me come back to you. God, if I've let go of the anchor, if I've allowed the anchor to drift, if I've allowed myself to drift away from the anchor, God, God, I want to know you. I want to be close to you. In Jesus' name. As they begin to sing this morning, as we begin to make our way around the front, if you've got a need in your life, If you've got a sickness in your body, if you've got a problem, I want you to bring it to an altar today and say, Jesus, I give it to you. Jesus, I give it to you. I bind the sickness in my body by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bind the spirit that is in my veins.